Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast. Kevin A.C. Potter's beat writer for the Union Tribune. Ryan Finley, sports head of the Union Tribune. I am in Chicago. Padres play the White Sox, which is not the important part. Though it might be important for the Padres since they can't beat good teams very often. So that's cool, because if the Padres win a couple games here, I'm going to go ahead and say they probably clinch a playoff spot here in the next 3 days. But Ryan, I mean, that would seem to me to be the biggest topic, but where would you like to start?
Yeah, I'd like to start there. The Padres took just one of three against the Mets in New York, but they didn't get swept. And some of the other teams behind them are coming back to earth a little bit more. I think that there was enough, for lack of a better word, bloodletting in these other races to say that the Padres are actually in a pretty good spot as they head into Chicago. They're not playing well.
But from
a playoff position, what we all thought was happening is actually happening, and there's something to be said for that.
There's clarity, right.
There's clarity, and now the clarity has almost led to inevitability. It looks to me as if the Padres will clinch at some point before early next week, and that they will then go to Chicago to take on the Cubs in the first wildcard series. That is at least the way it's shaking. Appears to be shaping up for me. Kevin, let's go over some scenarios.
I would say, and you're right on, but I'd say it's been inevitable for a week more. I mean, that's why I always try in my newsletter to show, like, give some context to, hey, there are this many games ahead. What that means, like, when you're five games ahead with, like, 10 games to go, it's virtually impossible for the team behind to catch up. The team ahead has to go like 1-9. And then the team trailing has to go like, 7-3. Like it's impossible to catch the Padres if you were the Diamondbacks at this point, even the Mets. So anyway, magic number over the Giants is one. So another loss or win and it's over. But the magic number against both the Reds and the Diamondbacks is four. So that means that any combination of four Padres wins, four Diamondbacks losses, the Diamondbacks cannot pass the Padres. Any combination of four Padres wins and Reds losses, the Reds cannot pass the Padres. So that means if the Padres win the first two games of the series, Friday, Saturday, and the Reds lose Friday, Saturday, Padres clinch Saturday. Mm-hmm. That's also, I should say, if the Reds and Diamondbacks both lose to, the next two games, then the Padres clinch on Saturday. Let's say that the Reds and Diamondbacks win tonight, but the Padres win. The Padres could still clinch tomorrow, they would take them to clinch on Sunday, as long as the Reds and Diamondbacks lose one of their next two games, and then the Padres sweep. So, bottom line, magic number is four. Any combination of two Padres wins and two Padres losses by both of those other two teams, the Reds and Diamondbacks, and the Padres are in the playoffs. So let's just say doesn't happen here in Chicago. I mean, what the Padres need to do is win four of their final nine games. Now, Ryan, there's a question of whether the Padres can win four of their final nine games, but those other teams aren't going undefeated.
Right. Both the Reds and Diamondbacks are playing playoff teams this weekend. I would wonder how many starters or regulars would be playing for those playoff teams. But you've got the Reds are playing the Cubs at home and the Diamondbacks are hosting the Phillies. So that's sort of where we're looking at. And again, to reiterate, Kevin, I feel like sometimes we can't see the forest for the trees because we talk about this all the time. There are six playoff spots in the National League. The Padres, if the season were to end today, would be in that fifth playoff spot. They would go to Chicago to face the Cubs. By clinching, we are saying that they have clinched the fifth or sixth spot.
Right.
They would need to continue winning to for sure secure the five spot in that date with the Cubs in Chicago. The good news, if you're the Padres, is that the Padres play the Chicago White Sox this weekend. The bad news, if you're the Padres, is that the Diamondbacks could still be alive. And the Padres finished their regular season with the Diamondbacks. And the Brewers are like the best team in baseball. And they're coming here next week. Although you wonder who exactly the Brewers will be playing since they have sewn up a playoff spot and did so, a week ago or something crazy? So Yeah.
And they're looking to secure the number one seed, but they've all but secured a bye at this point. And the Phillies right. have all but secured a bye at right. this point. So, yes, it is about look, the Padres are the Padres lost the game on the Dodgers yesterday. That's why we've gotten 5.5 minutes into this. And we haven't talked about the Padres winning the West because they're ostensibly 4 games behind the Dodgers because the Dodgers hold the tiebreaker. So what I just said about how difficult it is for teams behind that's I'm talking about the Padres in relation to the Dodgers. And I had it in the newsletter today. I don't have it in front of me. I don't know if you do, but what it would take for the Padres to pass the Dodgers. It's virtually impossible. I say that, and the way September's gone, all the Padres need to freaking do is win. Mm-hmm. And that's what's so infuriating, I know, for fans and disappointing for the Padres is the Dodgers have stunk just as bad as the Padres recently, basically.
Yep, and the Padres have gotten into a little bit of a free fall, and they haven't lost all that much, all that many games on the Dodgers. And you can't say this year's Padres didn't have their chances. I think that's the thing that when we look back at the end of it, and who knows where they'll be in a month, but when we look back at the end of it, we may talk at some point that two things can be true. That number one, they far exceeded the expectations for this season in terms of numbers of wins. But number two, they had their chance to take the Dodgers down and they couldn't do it. And, you know,
I should really be more grateful to Mike Schilt because I love to just mimic him. That may be true for you, Ryan.
Yes.
They are not far exceeding my expectations. I thought they were an 88, 90 win team. I mean, I thought they were a playoff team. I don't understand how people didn't think they were a playoff team. Right. There's 6 freaking spots and baseball is mediocre now. I'm not upset about it. I actually kind of like it. I think it's cool. What, like, people are complaining about, like, oh, the Giants are contenders. Well, truthfully, if you really pay attention, they're not. They're right. alive, but they haven't been contenders for 3 or 4 days. Right. What? It's not cool that the Reds and Diamondbacks fans get to be interested at this point. I think that's cool. But to think that the Padres weren't a playoff team, I just thought that was silly before the season. Anyway.
Las Vegas win totals. I'm just saying they've exceeded the gambler's win total.
What was that? This year.
Hold on. Let me find that number. I thought it was 83. Thought it was 83.
Wow. That's it. I'm sorry. Like, I don't know. Listen, if I knew anything about sports or gambling or predicting, I wouldn't be a sports writer. I would have retired because I would have made so much money betting on sports. But that's ridiculous. Like, that's insanity.
Yeah, it is. It is. Padres win total over under was 85.5. Sorry, 85.
Okay, so what you're saying is 86. And I will say this. I wouldn't have put my life savings on that.
Right.
But
right.
I thought they were going to exceed that and be like the 6th seed or something like that. So anyway, sorry, went off on a tangent, but I because the gist of your point, absolutely true. Like, the Padres could end up being the Texas Rangers, who looked like they had zero business being in the playoffs in 2023 at the end of the season and won the World Series.
Right.
We tend to remember those things as opposed to all the other teams that finished a season crappy and then were one and out in the playoffs. So, like, look, they'll be one or the other. I'm honestly like, Ryan, it has been hard to cover this team. No, not asking for sympathy. I love I'm just saying, like, we're playing out the string here. Like, and they're just losing the same way. And like, it's just not interesting baseball at this point. And to me, it's been inevitable for more than a week, if not longer. Than I've been saying it. I'm not just saying it now, that they were going to make the playoffs. Like, I had all these stories planned for, like, when they were playing well, about this is why they're good. None of those stories apply now because they're playing like crap. I don't even know. Like, I don't know what your take on this team is right now, but like, I think they're capable still of winning the World Series, but I can't exactly tell you how.
I'll tell you what my take on this team is. My take on this team is, Kevin, and you know how baseball is, 162. I'm not at games. I'm home. I'm at work. I'm doing whatever. You know, sometimes you tune in and it's the third, right? Or you follow it on your phone and then you check in. I haven't missed the first inning of a Padre game in about 3 weeks. Because the first inning of a Padre game will tell you pretty much if they're going to win. And if they give up a home run in the first inning, as they seem to do most nights now, They're playing from behind. It's going to be a struggle. If they can get through the first, I'd love to see these numbers. If they get through the first without giving up a run, that's going to be a good night for them. That's what I make of this team. For some reason, they cannot get through the first inning. And I don't get it. It seems like it's all five starters. It seems like, you know, it's been hard to watch. And as anybody who's watched a struggling team knows, when you trail, whether, hey man, this could be football, this could be basketball, when you trail early all the time, there is very much a sense of here we go again every night. And every time, you know, Michael King gives up a home run, you look and you can't help but think of the time Yu Darvish did it, or the time Dylan Cease did it, or the time Nestor Cortez did it, right? Like, they're developing a reputation at the end of this season as a team that can be got early. And I don't think that bodes particularly well for the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, hard to argue. Listen, every team, basically. You know who has the most comeback wins in the major leagues this year?
San Diego Padres?
No, and I should have said this clarified. Do you know who has the most comebacks from three or more runs down this year?
Colorado Rockies.
Yep. You know why?
Because they get down a lot.
There you go. They got to win sometime, right? So the Padres have 9 comeback wins from 3 runs down. That's more than the Phillies, more than the Dodgers, more than most playoff teams. That doesn't mean it's not a marker. It can't be a marker of a good team, right? The Guardians, who are now challenging the Tigers, have quite a few. But the Angels also have quite a few. You are correct. It's not as stunning as you would think. It's not as certain a thing as you would think. The Padres also have tended to score in the first. So it's if they're trailing in the first, it's pretty ugly lately. And that's the case for most teams. And that's where I don't know really what to make of it. I want to get down on the offense. Or, you know, I say I want to, you know what I mean? Like I want to be like, hey, and I point out this is what they haven't done. This is what they've done. And these are valid. On the other hand, every team's offense struggles when they're down 2, 3, 4 runs. It's different. The pitching on the other team can be different. The other pitcher is emboldened. The other pitcher can pitch a different way if he's smart about it. It's managed different. So it's like if they can just pitch better early, they maybe could be a better team. You know, I don't know. That was my whole gist, is I honestly don't know what to make of this team right now. Wow. Now, that's to say, listen, I know there's some fans, especially the, you know, emails I get. Well, then I'm an idiot that I can't understand, because they definitely have the answers for what's wrong with this team. But let me tell you that the reason I was so up on the 3-run comebacks is one of my most strident and negative emailers. Absolutely swore they must be terrible when down by 3 runs. And I knew that not to be the case. I did the research, and it's like, what you think is wrong with this team may or may not be what's wrong with this team. Let me tell you, like, it's a good team that is playing poorly, and I don't know exactly what to make of it.
Kevin, can I ask you about starting pitching real quick? And this is just in regards to a playoff rotation. And I don't want to belabor the point. We made it on the last one too. Can you depend on, and I'm going to give you 3 names and make a case, can you depend on Yu Darvish in a playoff game?
Well, I'm going to say no. And you, I mean, go ahead, but I'm going to say no. And I'm going to say no to the next guy. I'm going to say no to the next guy, but I would like to go down this. Go ahead.
Yeah. Can you depend on Michael King? Before 2 days ago, Kevin, I would have staked, maybe not my house, but my car, on Michael King being in the starting rotation for a playoff series, and maybe being the number 2 starter in a playoff series.
Mm-hmm.
Can you depend on him? Can you depend on Dylan Cease? You know, I was looking this morning at, we're doing some MVP type voting with the baseball writers. I was looking this morning at WAR this year for Padre players, WAR totals. Dylan Cease is near the top of that list. Dylan Cease hasn't been very good. But Dylan Cease has been, compared to everybody else, really. Can you depend on Dylan Cease? you know, is it, I'm outside of Nick Pivetta, who looks really good most times he's out there, man, those are three. And then Randy Vasquez, don't think you can run Randy Vasquez out there. I'm just wondering, at some point they're gonna have to swallow hard and name it game two starter, and I don't know who that's going to be.
Right. It's Michael King, I think. Now we'll see what he does Sunday. See what he does in his start after that. But by the start after that, they're probably lining him up to be the number two starter. So really, like, time is out on that one almost. Look, when Michael King went out and threw the whatever it was, five innings, two runs, looked really good for a guy first time back. I'm with you. And I also would have said, but we've got to see, right? And that's been the problem the whole time, right? Like, there's this thing in the future of Michael King's coming back. That's a good thing based on history and based on what he can do. But there always was the, but we don't know. Right. And that's just kind of where we're at. It's not a secure feeling right now. And that makes us all prone to sort of take it to the negative, which is, you know, this team has no chance, or this team is up against it, or whatever. And that's why I'm saying that, like, I just don't have my arms around how bad it is. I do know that they can be as good as any team that's in the playoff field, because they have been as good and better than those teams. And it really wasn't that long ago. But yeah, that's the questions that you're bringing up are exactly why none of us have a good feeling about the Padres going into the playoffs.
And it's not about wins and losses at this point. And I think that that's one of the things, and we've talked about this all year long. The results, they matter, but they don't. It's more play good baseball. Are they playing good baseball? You know, there's no shame in losing 2 of 3 to a Mets team that is clearly has its back up against the wall, clearly desperate to win every game, treating every game like game 7 in the World Series. There's no shame in losing 2 of 3 to those guys. There is some shame in getting blown out twice, you know? And to me, that's the thing. It's not the wins and the losses. It's the eye test. And they are failing the eye test and have been for a month.
Yep. You're right. They were 0-for-2 with runners in scoring position in both of those blowouts, meaning they only had 2 at-bats with runners in scoring position and didn't get a hit either time. They, not surprisingly, were out homered 10-3, I think. And you're right. Game two, both managers managed pretty hard. The Mets basically didn't have to, the other two, because of what you brought up. Yesterday Mike Schilt decided he was going to manage this like a playoff game, and Randy Vasquez was not given the opportunity to work out of the third inning. And I absolutely have some understanding of that and why he did it. Absolutely. You know, on the other hand, the first batter that Wandy Peralta came in and faced, and, you know, that's the beauty of being a manager, right? Like, oh, hey, look how bad your decision was. Wandy Peralta gave up a home run on the fourth pitch. So what would Randy Vasquez have done? With Randy, it probably wouldn't have been a home run. It probably, if it was going to go poorly, would have been a slow bleed, right? And then you would have been like, why'd he leave Randy Vasquez in? Guaranteed. Many of the same people that emailed me would have, regardless, emailed me, why did he leave Randy Vasquez in? Now, you're right. Randy Vasquez might have also gotten out of that inning. You know what? We'll never know, maybe, because Randy Vasquez is never given the opportunity to get out of such a situation.
No, you're right. You're right. And again, this is where I whisper to our listeners here. Wandy Peralta has been pretty good all year. I know people don't want to believe it. I know that the sins of 2024, he's still paying for in 2025. He's been just fine this year. This was not like putting in Yuki Matsui with a game on the line. This was not like putting in, and I like him actually a lot, but Bradley Rodriguez, who doesn't know where the ball's going. You know, this is a guy who's been a pretty darn good reliever for you. And I thought Schilt, given an opportunity to explain his decision-making, I don't know that I agree with it, but I totally see where he's coming from. I totally get it. Hey, try to get hard contact somewhere, you know, and then maybe you're out of it, or maybe it's only a couple runs.
And you know what? If Jason Adam were healthy, that's probably Adrian Morihone in that situation, as insane as that sounds. But Mike Shildt basically compared that third inning to the seventh inning because of where the game was, you know, could potentially have headed. Now, it headed there. That's what happened is what he was trying to not happen, but he felt he had to try something. So now you can also ask yourself, you know, more than what did that do to Randy Vasquez, right? Who was clearly frustrated by it. What did that tell Mike Shildt's team, right? Like, well, you guys are basically playing out the string here. Your manager is managing his butt off, right? Mm-hmm. Like, what did I don't have a clear answer on that, on what that told his team, but it's kind of like, it could be viewed as a desperation move. It could be. I would tend to say, you know what? Mike Shildt had to try something there. All right. Okay. I get it.
Randy Vasquez has been, again, so good for them and so such a help during the season that I get maybe why he feels, you know, wronged a little bit there. On the other hand, I'm not sure Mike Shildt's too worried about Randy Vasquez's feelings. This is not a guy who's going to pitch a meaningful playoff inning for them. If this were Dylan Cease, or if this were Michael King, maybe you let him wear it a little bit to show that you're sticking with your guy, right? But this is Randy Vasquez. I'm not sure Randy Vasquez has earned the benefit of the doubt in that situation. Right. I'm not sure that angering him or messing with his confidence is something that's going to hurt you in October. I'm not sure he's on the roster in October.
No, that's why I said, you know, far more would be my question of what to say to the other players. I will say this, since it didn't work out, and since, you know, you are making the playoffs and you probably weren't catching the Dodgers anyway, you know, you could have given Randy a shot there.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Mike's answer made all the sense in the world, knew it at the time that he did it, but he gave us an answer that was even obviously more than I could have known or any of us. And I thought, you know, I get it. I do. And that's basically usually the most I will say in my role is, do I get it? Do I get what the player did? Do I get what the manager did? Do I know why that happened? And that's, you know, could he have done it better? Could, you know, this, that? Yeah, okay, whatever. But we know why Mike Shildt did what he did. And by the way, Mike Shildt is an expert handler of the bullpen. And Ruben Diablo and Ben Fritz and Brian Esposito and then the brain trust there, both before, during games. Very, very good. Not perfect, but very, very good. And, you know, I thought that was a fascinating situation yesterday.
And it's funny, you know, when you write, Kevin, you don't go granular on managerial decisions unless they elevate themselves to the point where it's worth examining. I thought today's game story, and to our listeners, if you haven't read it, go read it, is just an excellent look at just kind of the wheels turning and why Mike Shildt did what he did, what the result was. Obviously, that's important, but what the thinking behind it was, very interesting. Kevin, I want to get into starting pitching real quick, only because I'm fascinated by the Padres pitchers this weekend. All three guys who I have major questions about heading into the playoffs pitch this weekend. Got Dylan Cease starting tonight against Davis Martin of the Chicago White Sox. Cease 8-11 with a 4.5 ERA. He's coming off his first quality start since August 10th, but that was against the Rockies. Still, you know, 2.4 ERA in three September starts. I know very little about Davis Martin outside of the fact that he's 6-10, but his ERA is just over 4. It's not terrible. Interesting to me to see where Dylan Cease comes out tonight, and I'm not even going to say the thing that I'm thinking, which is Dylan Cease tends to pitch pretty well against bad teams and may be motivated against the White Sox. But I think that's fascinating. What say you?
Every start of Dylan Cease is somewhat fascinating to the point where it bores me now. And that's not, you know, yes, it is. It is fascinating because the guy is still a guy they need, right? We've been talking about Michael King. Oh, need Michael King too. Yep. You know who else you need? You need Dylan Cease. Okay. So yes. What does it tell us if he goes out and sticks it up the backside of the White Sox? Zero.
What does it tell, really? Tell us if he struggles, though?
Yeah, because you could argue zero. But except for, you, like, wait a minute. what it shows us is we absolutely can't put Dylan Cease on a mound in a playoff series. Oh, unless Yu Darvish comes out tomorrow and stinks too. And then back to your statement earlier, at some point they have to swallow hard and decide who's starting for them in the postseason. None of these guys that are going they're not very experienced, the starters, and none of them have been terrible either. The White Sox just aren't very good, man. Now, they've lost six in a row. They're 16 games better than the Rockies, who have 112 losses, by the way, 9 games to go. They're not as bad as they were. Do you know that after 90 games, the White Sox were 30-60?
Whoa. Jeez.
So let's do the math there. What are they? 27-36 since then. So that's quite the improvement. Uh-oh. Padres are facing a red-hot White Sox. Actually, before the six-game losing streak, the White Sox swept the Twins in 4 games. This is about the same time, right? Close. I think the Twins went to Chicago after taking 2 or 3 from the Padres. So during this time that the Padres have totally struggled, the White Sox swept the Twins, took 2 of 3 from Detroit, and 2 of 3 from Tampa Bay. So it's not like they're incapable, right? Will Venables Club. Of doing something. Now the Padres have a recent interesting history against the White Sox. Swept them last year, swept them the year before, lost 2 of 3 at Petco Park against the White Sox in 2022. But what happened on the final day of that series?
Did they clinch?
Padres lost 2-1 in the middle of the game. Yeah. I believe it was the Reds lost, putting the Padres into the playoffs.
Interesting. Saturday, Yu Darvish against Yuendris Gomez. Gomez 3-2, 4.9 ERA. Yu Darvish 4-5, ERA of 5.6. Sunday, Sunday, Michael King 4-3 with a 3.84 ERA against Sean Burke 4-10 with a 4.29 ERA. Kevin, Michael King is as forthcoming, I think, a pitcher as you cover, a guy who I think has pretty good perspective. What did he make of the other day?
Lack of command, man. Fastball up, and he acknowledged it. Unlike Nick Pivetta, who said that he had 3 good pitches hit out, there were fastballs up in the middle of the zone and a curveball hung inside to the left-handed hitting Juan Soto. But anyway, Nick Pivetta will forget more about pitching by 5 p.m. than I'll ever know, but that was weird. Michael King, bad fastball command. And I mean, that's really what it was. And he couldn't correct it. And he's a big him, Joe Musgrove. I mean, really, it's a mark of a good pitcher. But these guys, when they lose it, they're able to correct it in games. And Michael wasn't really. And so, you know, it happened. And that's what we'll be able to say after Sunday, either. It happened. And oh, look, Michael King fixed it. And that's good. And the good thing about Michael King, and it's funny, because we just poo-pooed if Dylan Cease does really well against the White Sox. And we have history to do that. Well, if Michael King is on, his mechanics, his consistency, his fastball command, if he's on, he can pitch really well against anybody. Yeah. That's what Sunday tells us about Michael King. Was he right? And if he was, then you can, you know, be optimistic again.
Right. Do you dial it in? And again, Kevin, I'm not a pitcher. I'm just a guy who watches on TV. It's not like his velocity is way down. It's not like the shape of his pitches is necessarily bad.
No, I was told this stuff's pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, he looks okay. But so does Dylan Cease. You know, they look okay until they leave a fastball over, you know, an eighth of an inch too much of the plate and the ball gets crushed.
Well, especially Cease and King and Darvish recently. Look, King's given up what now? Is it 5 home runs in his 2 starts? I mean, and Darvish has given up, I think, 6 since he came back. And it's more, but I think, yeah. Anyway, recently, really good. Pitch down the middle, home run, not getting away with a mistake like you can sometimes. So you know, there it is.
Yep, there it is. He's going up against Sean Burke, who threw six innings of one-run ball against the Padres last year. He got a no decision. The Padres ended up winning that game. Kevin, I put you on the spot at the end of every episode, and we're coming up on our time. And today is no different. You got a Will Venable story for me? How much did you know him from your previous life as a columnist?
You know, talked to him a fair amount, but certainly not like a beat writer, right? But just one of the nicest, most down to earth, which is to me, I grade these guys on a curve. I like to grade all people on a curve. I hope I'm graded on a curve, but especially ball players. Down to earth is probably the biggest compliment I can give a ball player. Obviously very smart. This was an inevitability that he would be a manager. I, you know, this is the kind of opportunity that guys get, right? Unless you were grandfathered in, right? Mm-hmm. You got to go take over a crappy team. I say it all the time. How good a manager was Andy Green? Well, he was a really good manager who never had a shot and was never going to make it more than 4 or 5 years. And so I hope that they can turn things around here in Chicago for Will Venable in terms of talent acquisition, because I think he's probably a fine manager.
Yeah. And certainly he's learned alongside many of the best, including Bruce Bochy last year. Kevin, who's the most down-to-earth guy in the Padre clubhouse right now? And Joe Musgrove doesn't count. He's not on the active roster.
Then it's probably Michael King. Okay. Yeah, it's probably Michael King. Jake Cronenworth, I would say. Yeah. Those are two very just down to earth. And if you're you also then have to grade on a curve, you know, middle relievers, you know, always kind of down to earth, right? Like, you know, who's down to earth? Mason Miller. Good Q&A by Annie Heilbrunn today, by the way, posted some interesting background. They're all, you know, those are always really good and in depth. Yeah.
I liked your note about Luis Arraez the other day. When they're playing poorly, he's seems like a good dude.
Luis is just, you know what? The word I used was joy. And that's different than happiness, by the way. Look it up. Joy is a state of being. And Luis is just a joyful human being.
Kevin, best part about this podcast is I never know where we're going to end up. You know, we talked about, what was it earlier in the year? The philosophy.
Oh, stoicism?
Stoicism. Today we're talking about the difference between happiness and joy. Love it, love it, love it. Padres White Sox, 3-game series at Rate Field, which used to be Guaranteed Rate Field, and now it's Rate Field. Is their logo still an arrow going down? Because it used to be, and that was hilarious.
I think it is. I'll tell you later today.
Okay. South side of Chicago, 3-game series. Padres White Sox. That'll do it for this episode of the Hot Lava Podcast. For Kevin Acey, I'm Ryan Finley. We'll see you next time.